Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the fifth Sunday after Trinity comes from our gospel reading of Luke. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you'll be catching men." That's far the text. The boats are sinking. Usually this would be a problem. Usually you would be filled with fear, sudden panic, if you realized that the boat that you were standing in was quickly becoming submerged. Usually you would frantically begin to bail out whatever you could, throw on a life vest, take a quick glance to see how far you are from shore. Yes, usually a sinking boat is a bad thing. This one wasn't. In fact, it was a fisherman's dream. Nets so full that they're bursting at the seams. Boats so heavy laden with fish that they begin to sink. "Just get it to shore," you say to your partners, "and we'll be rich." You would think that this is what Peter, James, John, the rest of them had with their emotions and their thoughts. Only joyful anxiety, mind-boggling bewilderment. And yes, Peter, he's scared. But it's not because the boat's sinking. If this Jesus guy could have caused such a tremendous catch of fish, surely he would be able to save them from sinking from this miraculous overabundance. Peter's scared, though, terrified even, because he, a poor, sinful man, is standing beside a man who is anything but, who through the authority of his word alone has power over creation itself. No man has that type of authority. And if one does, he's certainly someone greater than me, greater than Peter, greater than any of us. A short while before this, it must have seemed an impossibility what took place. Peter and his crew had been toiling through the entire night, experienced fishermen, every single last one of them, and this was their profession, their livelihood. And if catching fish is how you put food on the table and a roof over your head, you better be good at it. Otherwise, you should find a different profession. But theirs, this morning, their nets were completely empty. Hardly worth even cleaning that morning, except for the fact that that's what a fisherman does, I suppose, even if it's out of habit. And then this Jesus guy, he comes along, climbs into Peter's boat, and the school of men that followed him were teeming around and pressing upon him in such a way that it made him impossible for him to be heard. "So Peter, let out your boat just a little bit from shore. Let me speak to these people so that they might hear a word from me. That's why they're here. That's why I'm here." And we don't know what Jesus said. It's lost to the annals of time, but it was a word from our Lord. And so surely it was more than just some moral platitude or social cliche. And whatever it was, Jesus spoke as one who had authority, because at that word, Peter and the rest later put out into even deeper water, let down their nets, very nets that had spent hours upon hours dragging nothing out of the sea. And now their nets were bursting, and their boats are sinking. And Peter finds himself prostrate before Jesus, hiding his face and pleading for Jesus to leave him. And surely Peter doesn't get everything, doesn't understand exactly what's going on, just how exactly are his nets so full, and how exactly are those boats, both of them, sinking with all of that fish. But he does know one thing for certain. He's a sinner. And this Jesus fellow isn't. And the one place that Peter knows that he doesn't deserve to be is in the presence of this man whose very word can produce the impossible. The Word of God is a funny thing. Some might even say it's foolish. Paul does. We would do well to say the exact same thing too. And yet it's a word unlike anything else. It's a word of authority and a word of power. It's a word that does the unimaginable and makes things real that cannot be real. It's a word that can catch thousands, whether that be fish or men. This word of foolishness encircles multitudes and brings them safely into the boat, into the ark, into this upside-down ship of a church, just like this one, and makes alive that which was once dead. Now, I can't sit here and tell you how such things happen, any more than Peter could tell you why his nets were breaking, his boats were sinking. All that I can tell you is that this foolish word from our Lord does what it promises to do, even if it appears impossible, just like it did with Peter and the fish. Tell me, what fisherman in his right mind is going to listen to the word of a landlubber who has no expertise of the things of the sea? All right, Jesus, we'll let down our nets. But let me tell you one thing. We've just done this. In fact, through the entire night, we toiled, and we didn't catch a single fish. But it was something of Jesus' words. Not just that command to go and let down their nets, but the word that had just spoken previously, the word that had captured the hearts and the minds of that great shoal of men who filled the shore and waited breathlessly to hear a word from the lips of Jesus. It was at that word that caused Peter and the others to go and let down their nets. It's that word of God that produces a miracle. For miracles don't just happen, they happen by the word of Jesus. What sort of word causes this house of worship to be filled this morning? It must be an odd one. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. It must be a different sort of word, a word that isn't heard in any other place. Otherwise, and I can tell you this personally, if this word was just any other word that could be heard any other place, well, then I would be any other place than here this morning. If the word spoken here, if the word of God spoken here was a wise word, a word of earthly wisdom, like that spoken from philosophers or politicians or great and learned men and women found at the university, well, then I wouldn't be here. Actually, I probably would. That worldly part of me, I would be here. I would want to be here. The worldly me, that would be here. And I would think that I was learning something good and great and wonderful, something that I and the rest of the world could share and would agree with. We could all go about our lives thinking that we were better for hearing it. That isn't the type of word that's spoken here. At least it never should be. If you ever hear that type of word spoken from this pulpit, then run your pastor out of town or go find a church where a more foolish word is spoken. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and his weakness is stronger than all of our strength combined. The word of God is powerful, but only in a weak and foolish sort of way. The word of God that catches men alive, men and women like you and me here today, the word of God which has authority over life and death and even creation itself, authority to make empty nets full and sinking boats float. That's the foolishness of the word of the cross. And we preach Christ crucified. That's the only word that you should ever hear when you walk through these doors. Christ crucified. You should never hear about how you can become better people, or better citizens, or better fishermen, or better Christians. That's a word for outside of these walls, outside of this upside-down boat that is your church. A word like that might catch many. It might bring people teeming through these doors. It very well might pack this place to the gills. But a word like that can only catch men to their death. For a word like that doesn't give life, not true life, not eternal life, not real life. And fish found in those sorts of nets and brought into those sorts of boats find themselves dead by the time they reach the shore. No matter how wise those words might sound, a social gospel, a 10-step program to a better life, economic security for financial peace, none of those are the cross. None of that's Jesus. But then Jesus turns to Peter, tells him, "Fear not." That's a foolish word if I've ever heard one. For here's Peter, a sinful man, laying prostrate before the God of all creation, and he knows for certain that his days are numbered. A wise word would be, "You're dead, Peter. You stupid, silly, smelly little fisherman. Don't you realize that I should kill you right here and right now because of your sin?" Jesus doesn't say that. Instead, he foolishly says, "Do not fear." That's the word of the gospel right there. For in those words, he's proclaiming forgiveness of sins, absolution. Yes, you should be dead, Peter, but you're not. In fact, I've made you more alive than you've ever been in your whole entire life. And you're worthy, yes, you are, to be in my presence because I've taken your sins from you and made you clean. And more than that, Peter, I'm going to send you out to proclaim this same foolish word of forgiveness. You're going to go out and preach Christ crucified. You are going to catch men and bring them into my boat and carry them safely to the shore. And these men that you catch are not going to be dead. You'll catch them alive. For the net that you're going to use is the gospel, the net of forgiveness, Christ crucified, the net of the cross for you. Oh, you will miraculously catch so many fishy men with this gospel-y net that it will seem as if the net's going to break and the boat's going to sink. But the gospel won't ever break, and the church won't ever sink, and the people won't ever die. For I've come to preach the most foolish word of the cross to them so that they might have life and have it to the fullest. So here we are today in this ark of the church. Here we are today, each and every single one of us, caught by that foolish net of the gospel. Here we are today, hearing the preaching of Christ crucified for you. Here we are today, hearing those foolish words of baptism, where simple water combined with the Word of God makes us all to be children of the Heavenly Father. Here we are today, hearing those foolish words of forgiveness spoken into our ears, so that we might be certain that when Christ Jesus weakly climbed up on that cross, he had the sins of the world, that means yours, all of them, right on his back, nailed through his hands and his feet, buried deep into that grave, never to come out again. Here we are today, hearing that foolish word of take and eat, my body given for you. Take and drink, my blood poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Here we are today hearing those foolish words of Jesus, the words that the world thinks are ridiculous. And they are. They make no sense. But they're the words of our Lord, crucified and risen, and they miraculously accomplish the very things that they promise, even if it sounds foolish. And so, my fellow fishy Christians, fear not. Christ died for you, and he's caught you with the net of his gospel, the preaching of him crucified. He's brought you into his ark. Right here is church. And he'll safely bring you to the shores of heaven, alive and well and forgiven. Because we preach and hear Christ crucified. In the name of Jesus.